Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Stock Market Today. It's Ali Korman, Mike Webster here with a breakdown of the action in today's session, Friday, April 26, where we saw stocks snap back after last week's bad break. Thanks in large part today to the reaction to Google parent Alphabet's earnings. We'll dig into the market action and some stocks on our radar. And since it's Friday and we've got Mike Webster back at IBD, then we're going to go in a little bit deeper, dig down, take a look at some different charts that we're looking that can help us provide that additional context to how we're positioned and some historical precedents as well. So a lot to get to, Webby. I'm excited. Are you excited?
I'm always excited. So that's not really a fair question.
Well, I'm excited, but yeah, I just didn't want to keep rambling on this intro without getting you involved, but let's start with a high level look at the market action right now. So today, the NASDAQ composite up a little over 2%. We have the S&P 500 today closing up 1%. Also the Russell up some 1% by sessions close. The Dow lagging, but one of the less important indexes that we look at up about 0.4% or so, but we're following the S&P and the NASDAQ very closely here. So we have the S&P back above the 21-day line now, Webby.
And that's really the key, is that green line on there, the 21-day. And that's something that we've done a ton of work on. And basically, when you're above the 21-day, good things tend to happen. When you're below it, bad things tend to happen. That's trading at its simplest level. Now, where our close got above it today, or got right at it, we really want our low to be above it to have more conviction. But today was essentially a follow-through day in spirit. We're waiting to see how the volume figures turn out. From what we were looking at before, NYSE was light today, and NASDAQ was about the same as yesterday. So, you know, we'll see. But regardless of how the exact numbers come out, it certainly felt like a follow through on an index level. And it's a reminder to us that we need to be flexible. I was extremely bearish just a couple of days ago, even yesterday morning, based off of some historical work that I've been doing. And we'll talk about at the end of this session. But just like Bill taught us, you can be very bearish, but when the facts change, you have to switch and be bullish. So at this moment, we had a follow through day. We're back at our 21 day. So now we're going to be looking for stocks to be buying next week. And you probably did a little bit of buying today, probably covered some shorts, and, we'll go from there.
Yeah, definitely a step in the right direction. And this was a tech-led rally today, fueled by Google. So here's a look at the NASDAQ, also getting above the 21-day line, getting closer back to 16,000 and the 50-day line. Here's a look at Google, just to put things in perspective. This really kicked off the ripple effect across the market today, up 10%, a gap up on an earnings beat, big report, issuing its first ever dividend. Microsoft also had a favorable earnings reaction as well. Of course, not to this degree that Alphabet had. And so it's not just the fact that, this is an index heavyweight. Of course, that really, really helps. But also, it's just this AI theme, Mike, that investors are really focused on this year, and Google putting that back at the forefront.
Exactly. So the big bull markets tend to be led by themes. Of course, we have the internet theme is the one that everyone thinks about. But if you go back in history, there was a time when the airliners were, a new thing, and then that brought on a big bull market, and you had all the follow-on effects with all the hotels and then restaurants that built out from there. You go back further, of course, you have the railroads, and then you have the cars, automobiles. That these big themes can last a long time in the market. So this AI theme is not a one day or a 1 month or a 1 year thing. It'll be, drawn out over years or maybe even decades. But that doesn't mean it goes straight up. And that's what we saw here recently. So just because AI is going to be big and powerful, and you've got some of these great companies that are doing wonderful things, they're going to make everything more efficient, And just kind of makes you think to the days before we had Google, before you could just look up everything. I mean, I remember I used to spend so much time at the library. Now, no one goes to the library, or hardly anybody does. So AI is going to be changing the way we live in ways that we can't even think about, but it's not going to be a straight line up.
Exactly. Yeah. And because of Google's AI innovations and spending plans, that really helped buoy a lot of other areas of the market, including chips. So here's a look at SMH, which along with the major indexes had a bad break of its own last week, really snapping back in strong fashion this week. On Friday alone, up 2.6%, getting right to the 50-day line. For the week, up more than 9%. So pretty impressive. We're right at that key 10-week line, but this is definitely encouraging to see.
It's encouraging to see, but let's just talk back to the daily for a moment. That break, now we have to think of things in a few different ways. We want to be flexible. We had a follow-through day, so we want to lean bullish, but we also want to look at reality. And this is, formed a little double bottom where the second bottom has undercut the first one by more than you would expect. That is a little bit more than normal. It doesn't mean it can't work out, but it is a flaw, and it does put it kind of in a weaker position. So it was good that we have the strength this week and, of course, today. And this has been the leading group because as people think of AI, the way to play it from an institutional standpoint, it's pretty much in the chip space and the NVIDIAs of the world. And, of course, you do have the other ones like the Googles that are big players. But it's really the chip space right now and hardware related that is thought of as the AI theme plays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And speaking of NVIDIA, let's transition that way. Up 6.2% by Friday's close. Full disclosure, I did reestablish my position. I hated to get rid of it, but that bad break slicing below 800, that key level, was just a signal that I was taking to sell. Hated to do it, but like you said, gotta be flexible. So I'm back in. Loved the retake of the moving averages today. This is the market leader right now. So what are you seeing in the chart, Mike?
Yeah, I think it looks good, but it does look similar to the SMH. And we did add this back on to Swing Trader today because, look, it's a leading stock of this bull market at this moment in time. That can change. So when you get a follow-through day, one of the things that Bill taught us is you don't have to buy a bunch of things, but you at least need to buy something. And so once I was recognizing that, hey, look, my negative bearish thesis doesn't look to be playing out. Switch gears. And then what do? You have to buy the leader. And luckily, this was regaining its 50-day. And so that's why we added it on. And of course, it's, back above its 50, back above its 10, back above its 21-day. But most importantly, that RS line, the little green line there, went back above its both of its moving averages that I like to look at. So yeah, I still think it's a little bit stretched above the 50-day, but it's not too far. If you're looking for exposure, I haven't bought this one back yet, but it's just because it was really, frankly, a very busy day. But it's something I'm looking at getting back into probably next week.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye on if it can hold that 50-day and the 21-day and the low of today.
And the low of today is, sorry to step on you. The low of today becomes very important. And that's something that everyone should be thinking of is when you go in and buy a stock or an ETF, where is your exit? And where would you know that you're wrong? Of course, you know that you're wrong if you undercut the lows from last week, but that's way too much to give up. So if you're initiating it today, today's low is an ideal place to get out, but everyone knows that. So there's probably a lot of people that might try to push it there just to get you stopped out. So you can always do that more on a closing basis and wait until the last hour if it's trading right around there. But certainly if it were to go through 800, the character would have been changed and it would look like it would need to build a base, a longer base.
Yes. Okay. Well, let's switch gears here. But also in this AI theme and on the move today in a big way was Astera Labs, ticker A-Lab, up 18%. Look at that, almost 19% by the end of the day. Webby, I know this was one that you were putting on our radar a couple weeks ago with this IPO base, which you invented the IPO base here. And so I think keeping A-Lab on your radar definitely was something that was worthwhile. And you pointed out to us on IEBD Live that you were keeping an eye on this high from 411, and it cleared that in a big way today.
Yeah, so this was, you know, as I said, Bill told us to always buy one thing. And so this was the one thing that I did go with. It's a little, it's too volatile for us to put on SwingTrader just because we like to keep our stops at 4% or less. So this one swings around so much that it was just too loose to put on there. But you should, everyone should go back and study the Google IPO base. And that is where, you know, how I invented the IPO base by studying that. And then literally every IPO of every stock in all of history. Let's go back to the daily on here to see like the different entries. So I started getting, when it went above the highs from 2 days ago, that's where I started. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right there. That's where I started. And then I was adding to it throughout the day. And I didn't expect it to be this powerful. Now, you don't want to wait until it gets up to the old highs to initiate. Like today was a place where you would be buying it. Now, what you don't want is for it to retrace today's move and go underneath today's low. That would be really out of character and tell you that there's something mm-hmm. wrong with this stock. But for those of you who are trading this, just expect a lot of volatility and adjust your position size accordingly, because this thing can go up or down 8% in a blink of an eye. And so you want to be aware of that. And that RS line is acting perfectly. So this looks textbook.
Yeah. Great. Okay. Well, we want to take a look at Kava today, because this was added to leaderboard by the leaderboard team early on in the day, and by the close up more than 10%. And CMG, Chipotle's earnings yesterday, putting the restaurant group back squarely in the front of our radar with that big move above 3,000 and extending gains on earnings. So when you see an explosive move like that with a leading stock, it's time to take a look at some of the others in the group, right, that might be setting up. And that's what we did with Kava.
Yeah. So the guys who run the leaderboard team, Dave and Ken, primarily, they did a great job by adding this. It was a recovery off of its 50-day. Mm-hmm. And that the point that you made with CMG is key. And that's at the core of what Bill taught us, is that groups really, a lot of a stock's move is determined by the group. So when you have a leader like CMG, go out to the monthly, because this has been one of the, you know, better model book stocks of all of history. Goes on nice long runs. They expand at the proper pace, which is difficult for restaurants to do, like not too fast, not too slow. They do an excellent job, and they've been able to have this huge move. But with that moving up, then what you do is you just go through the entire list of all the stocks in the group. And that's a great place within Market Surge, where it shows the top RS stocks in the group. So you would look at Sweetgreen, Wingstop. But just click on Sweetgreen real quick, SG, so people can see. That's how easy it is to look at the other stocks in the group. And then that one had it's a really nice bounce off of its 10-week. We talked about that on IBD Live this morning mm-hmm. with Jim Ropel. That was worthwhile. If you missed that, I would go back and rewatch it. He had a lot of great things to say. But when you have a group move, all the rest could just follow it, or at least the better ones. Wingstop looked good, Texas Roadhouse, all the high RS ones. So that's someplace you'd be wanting to do your homework this weekend.
Yeah. So Kava extended now up 16% on the week, but right on the money going with an entry earlier on in the session. So it's one that we're going to continue to watch closely.
Yeah, all so right. if you just real quick, if you missed this right here because it's too extended to buy, as you said, wait and see if it doodles around and builds what I call a little shelf. If it can go sideways, form some sort of tight area, so you have an expectation of, okay, if I buy it from here, it should go up. Because if you buy it right now, or you were to buy it Monday at this price, you wouldn't know that you're wrong until it undercuts today's low. And that's a way too much to give up over 10%.
Yes. All right. So now we are going to dig a little deeper for those of you who want to stay with us, which I know everyone does. So let's get... Yeah, let's take a look at VXUS. This is the FTSE Global All Cap XUS Index ETF. It's quite a mouthful, but really this is looking at global.
Everything but us. You know, yeah, everything but the US. And the reason why I wanted to bring this up is earlier this week when we were, you know, and last week when we were in the US having a difficult time, I was looking at everything, all the foreign markets, and specifically in Europe, were acting really strong. Now, over the last couple of days, Asia has caught up and had some big moves. And so sometimes you just want to diversify in case the U.S. runs into problems next week, having some exposure to what's really working. And they were having follow-throughs, or at least follow-throughs in spirit, in a lot of the indices in Europe earlier this week. So that's why we wanted it. We went ahead and put this on Swing Trader today. It's a slower side, which is also good. I mean, you're not going to have a 10% move in a day on this because it's so broad based. But it's also nice to gain some exposure with some slower, pokier things. So if we do roll over, you don't get your head handed to you.
Yeah. Okay. Let's also take a look at RSP. This is the equal weighted S&P 500 ETF. So this is a signal of market breadth. So what are you seeing here? It looks like RSP lagged today.
Yeah, it did lag because it didn't have the benefit of the Google move and the Microsoft move and the other ones that are, you know, the high market cap ones that really lifted everything. But what we were seeing earlier this week was it was starting to show some relative performance. Now, that RS line is weak, but that's also because just the nature of it, it's 500 stocks equally weighted versus SPY and the Qs or NASDAQ, which are all market cap weighted. So it's a slower, pokier type of instrument. It's also something we put on Swing Trader more from a safety standpoint. If this is for real, this one will go up with everything else, or it should. But if we roll, then you shouldn't get hurt as bad. And so that's also a strategy that Bill had when building a portfolio out, is you didn't want to have all high octane names like the A-Lab or an NVIDIA or a CMG or a Kava. Those things move a lot. And so balancing out your portfolio with either slow pokey stocks or really broad diversified ETFs, even if they're not the super big ones, super fast moving ones, that's what you like to have when on those down days.
Awesome. Okay. So for more market context, we are now going to switch gears and take a look at Mike's Trade Station charts. So that way we can see the different levels that we're watching. Also, let's first start out with the old regression channels just to underscore this character change that we saw for the market last week. And now we're trying to find a new channel, right, Webby?
Yeah, so that does take a little bit of time before you get a new channel in there. But this is the old one, and this is on the spiders. And you can see with that regression, we clearly broke down through that. And that's one of the reasons why we were getting so negative, is this move down here. But now we've bounced up. We've bounced to, you know, really a place where it's a make it or break it time. Because with that 50-day, which is that red line there, that's where the bears are going to want to defend in short this market. So we want to see it move above there. Then once we're out for a few weeks, then we'll start putting we'll start putting a new regression channel on, and we'll be starting with today's action. So obviously we only have one data point, so there's no point in putting a regression there. And let's just look at the composite just to get a feel. For this one was a bit more dramatic of a break, and you can see how bad that really was. And then really at the open yesterday, right down here, it was looking like we were going to break wide open, but the bulls stepped up and they used a lot of ammo, and it got us right back up to the 21 day, which is the blue. And again, this 16,000 level is right around the 16,051, which is your 50 day. So that becomes a very key level for us to get through.
Absolutely. And before we move on, speaking of Thursday's bar, because I did want to ask you about that too, because Webby, I know you're excellent with the day-by-day, bar-by-bar analysis and adding some additional context there, because we had a really bad open and some not so good economic news. So to see the kind of close that we, and not to mention Meta had a terrible earnings report. So we're, of course, you know, we have the earnings crapshoot with Friday, you know, well, I guess Thursday night, technically with Google and Microsoft. So you just never know with that, but any sort of clues that we could have gleaned with how the market closed Thursday.
Yeah. So since you brought up Meta, this was Meta yesterday. So frankly, if Google would have done something similar to this today or Microsoft, we wouldn't have had the follow through day, in my opinion. So it does, earnings really do become a bit of a crapshoot for the entire market now when it, when you've got the mega caps in play. But as far as looking at the, these are candlesticks, and it's something that people should get used to looking at. And when it's blue, that means that you opened up down here and you closed up here. And when it's red or pink, then you opened here and closed down here. In general, in bull markets, what happens is you start weak and you end stronger. In bad markets, like up here, you start strong and you close weak. That's just something that's, you know, as old as the hills, been around forever, as Livermore would say. And so yesterday was a clue, a big clue that the market, that the bulls were stepping in there because of that candle, that huge candle, the distance between the open and the close, and the fact that you pretty much closed at the highs for the day. That was a really big sign, but you were still stuck underneath your 21. You were stuck under even your 10 day. And there wasn't enough evidence, in my opinion, other than just getting lucky buying yesterday. I know it was a nice upside reversal. It kind of looked good, but you were going into this event risk with today's data, Microsoft and Google. That really could have just, if everyone's honest with themselves, it could have gone the other way. We, if those were bad reports, we would be talking about fresh lows right now.
Absolutely. Okay. So that's good context for us. Now let's follow up on our view of the 50% retracement on SPY and the composite as well. So we're going to stay with TradeStation for two more charts. And so here's a look at the 50% retracement from the three waves down breakout area.
Exactly. So we're starting our advance from here and going all the way up to this peak. And as I always like to say, whenever you advance up stock, index, intraday, monthly, doesn't matter, you can always retrace 50% of that before you even know that there is a problem. So this advanced from here up to here and then retraced less than 50%. This red line here, the 491.82, that is your 50% retracement level. And SPY was able to hold above it. So that was giving you a signal that SPY was actually stronger and healthier than the composite. So let's look at the NASDAQ. And you can, the same information, the same 50% retracement level, then you can see we broke wide right through that 50%, like it wasn't even there, but now we're back above it. So when you're above it, you have to be bullish. When you're below it, you want to be bearish. And so yesterday's action was kind of just right on the fence. I mean, it was right in the middle of yesterday's bar. So it didn't give you enough evidence, but now we do have the evidence. We're back above the 50 day. I mean, back above the 21 day, we're back above the 50% retracement. And so all is good there. We could look at some levels if we have the time.
Let's do it.
Okay. So here are the same levels that we had last week on. Hopefully everyone tunes in every week to watch these.
Yeah.
And these are the key levels if we end up rolling over that you want to see if we get support. And what's important is we were able to make it back through this level, which is one that we broke already. So we were able to recover through there. Now the now that we're playing offense instead of defense, we're looking for levels on the upside. So the next place we want to get through, besides obviously the 50-day, which is very important, would be the high of this day, the high from the 15th. That was that really bad day. So that's 5:15:30. And if we toggle over to the composite, that's up a little more from where we are, and that's at 16,293. So that would become an important level. But of course, the 50-day, which is this red line at 16,000 and change, or 16,051, that's what the market is going to be looking at more than these levels on here. The market always looks at the 50-day and the 200-day to a lesser extent, areas like this that I'm marking on here, or the 21-day.
Yeah, that 50-day definitely looms large. All right, now we're going to transition over to TradingView to circle back to that off-high indicator that you showed off last episode to see where we're at in terms of where we are off our highs and the average true range. Right?
Can you see it? I'm very bad at this talk.
There we go.
Okay.
We're back. So
let's look at the spiders. And what I would focus on is this area down here that I'm just going to stretch out to make it easier for everyone to see. And all this is these, the green, the yellow, and the red. That is just telling you how far off of your highs are you in terms of your average move. And it's average true range. Don't get hung up on the jargon. Just basically, when you're in the green area, you're trending nicely near your highs. Once you get in the yellow area, you're getting concerned. If you get in the red area down here, then it's like, look out below, because things could really break wide open. And so what had happened is we got into the yellow area, which I define as the four ATRs. So four of your average ranges over a 21-day time period. So we got below there. Now we've moved back up with today's action back in there. So we want to stay in that area. We'll glance at this every week. And let's just look at, see how NASDAQ did. And the same thing here. We're back up in here. I just call this my little Bob Marley indicator because of his colors and because I'm a fan. And so once we're in the green area, all is good. And you want to keep the gas pedal on. And now next week, we'll just determine how much gas we want to put on based on how the individual stocks are acting and what setups we get.
Yeah. But just because we're in the green doesn't mean we don't have to worry about a thing. Right, Webby?
Very well played. We didn't even plan that. I love that. Good job.
Yeah. So I take that as you're agreeing with me, and it was a little musical reference. Yes. All right. So great to know we're back in the green. So we're seeing more of these positive vibes, positive signals, steps in the right direction. Now we're going to pivot back to market surge to provide more additional context. We've got some precedents that we want to check back in on. So Webby, you worked with Justin Nielsen, our market research director, to pull up historical examples of similar market action in the past when we had trending markets, then a really bad break, and then what happened next. So we're going to be taking a look at a couple of those examples now. And the first one, we are going to be looking at late October 2009.
Yeah, so I put this out on my Twitter feed. So if you want to look at the examples, you can find them there because I put all of them that Justin and I were working on. And when you look at all of them, we're only going to look at a couple of them today that, you know, just to define it, we looked in, at times where the market had been above its 10-week for at least 13 weeks. And then we had a bad break, and we defined the bad break as you were down at least 4% for the week. You close in the bottom quartile of the bar for that week, and your high had been above the 10-week on that week and then closed below it. So go to the weekly chart for a second, just so people can get a sense, since that's a daily, and you can just see that bad break in there, right there. So that was, you have that in your mind of, you know, you have this nice trending market, and then you break it in a bad way. And then what do you expect? Now, this is probably the best example of the 09 and the 03 are ones where it ended up working out, but the rest of the samples weren't so good. And we'll look at a couple in a second. So let's go back to the daily. So with this one, it just kind of hung out underneath the 50-day for a little bit and then just meandered up through. And then you had that nice gap up where your low is above your 21-day. That's the key day that I'm looking for and waiting for to really put the gas on hard to let us know that we're really out of the woods and this isn't just a bounce up to the 50 that's going to run into a resistance. So getting your low above your 21-day is key.
Okay. Next, we're going to take a look at two examples from 2007. So I'm going to cue my charts up here. So here's two more.
Yeah. And let's just glance at the weekly for a second. Mm-hmm. And so you can see those bad breaks that are in there on the chart. You had been trending up nicely. Then you over by the 2724, you mm-hmm. broke it as well. So let's go back to the daily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So right there and right there. So we're going to zoom in.
So with the first one there in February, you can see that afterwards you had several, you know, just choppy days, but then you undercut. And that's what I was concerned about. I thought that was going to happen, yesterday, really, that we were going to undercut. But then you had a nice upside reversal. When you're looking at charts, the upside reversal is probably your best entry period, you know, above anything else, because it gives you a clear indication of where you're wrong. And if you undercut the low of an upside reversal, the low of that day, then you know that your thesis was wrong and you have to exit that trade. So that would have been an ideal place to start a position. Then, of course, you get a follow through day a few days later. Mm-hmm. Now we go into July. And that one was very violent. And what was tricky is, and what I'm concerned about, frankly, is that third day up where you went into your 50-day, that could be what we're in for. So we want to, it's not like, you know, all is good. We need to get, you know, we need to get some time. And when we looked at all of these examples, the only way to really solve most of them, except for the 03 and the 09 example, was a time element, and this needed time. And then you can see that nice upside reversal at the bottom, mm-hmm. the bottom day. And again, even though it was a pink day, it was clear that widespread closing at your highs, that's a signal to buy with using that low there as an exit. And there was a ton of money to be made during that time frame. And then do you see the day after that top day is that expectation breaker that we talked about a mm-hmm. few weeks ago. And so that was probably November 1st. Yeah, November 1st, day that will live in infamy. That was a very important day in trading history that everyone should study, because it was a change of character. And that was the beginning of that terrible bear market that lasted until March of 09. I think we have another example.
We do. We've got one more. So I'm going to queue up 1983. And here we go.
Okay. So a lot of them looked kind of like this. And that's what was putting me so negative, is that when you look in the past for clues, you know, kind of a map for going forward, and you see a lot of things like this, this was the bad break that was similar to our bad break that we just had. Let's go to the weekly mm-hmm. so people get a sense. And remember, from 1966 to 1982, it was this choppy sideways market. And then, you know, in 82 to 2000, that was your major bull market. But just like I said, you know, earlier, the things don't go straight up. This whole AI theme doesn't mean we're going to go straight up. That was terrible action. I mean, that's a long way down. And that's what I was concerned was going to happen. But again, let's go back to the daily. With this one, you never really saw that lift
right away,
like we had this week. And look at all that time you spent underneath your 21 day. So even if on this, you waited until you got above your 21 day and then exited when you got back below it, you didn't get hurt that bad. And so in summary for these old historical charts, and we can toggle back to our current chart and just look at the weekly. So everyone has that in your mind of how bad that break was, how out of character that was. So we've rebounded a lot. Doesn't mean we're totally out of the woods. And let's go to the daily for a sec. That green line, the 21 day, that's what you want to focus on. Next week, can we get that low above it and start trending above it? Or do we chop back and forth? If you chop back and forth around that 21 day, you want to stay light and maybe only buy a couple things. If they're working for you, then you can buy some more. On the simplest level, if you can just boil everything down to just one thing and take everything off your charts, just put that green line on there and just focus on that. And that is your homework assignment for this weekend, is to go into Market Surge and take everything else off except for your 21 day and go back and look at previous markets. Just do the change date the way Ali was doing and just look at different time frames. Maybe look at my Twitter feed where I posted those charts. I have the dates on there. You can go back in time and look at those. And just to get a sense of how powerful that 21 day is, and especially the low being above it is a good thing. The high being below it is a really bad thing.
Yes. And I couldn't agree more. Love, love, love the 21 day line. So glad you studied that. And I think the other important level to watch, Webby, right, on the downside is today's low.
So glad you brought that up. So when Justin, Charles Harrison, and I did a bunch of work to create the IBD's Market School Rules, which if you don't know what they are, there's a home study for it. It's great. I think it's the best work I did in a team environment where we really looked at everything and made it black and white rules. There's no gray and there's no touch of gray in there, just black and white, some ebony and ivory in there. And it just says, if this happens, then you do this. And it's a market exposure rules. I suggest getting that. If that's in your budget, I think it's really well worth it. But one of the original discoveries we made was how to know when your follow through is failing. And the original thing was just if you undercut your absolute low and point to your absolute low from a week ago, that's a long way down. So if you're buying today and you're not exiting until that point, we wanted to figure out a better way. And so what we found from our work was a close below the low of the follow-through day. So today's low, that's where you need to back away because it's a signal that that follow-through is failing. Sometimes it'll come back. If it comes back, you'll either have an additional follow-through day and or your low will get back above the 21 day. So you don't want to wait all the way until that low until you know that it's failed. I know it seems obvious now, but that's because we've talked about it a lot. But back when we discovered it, it really wasn't something that anyone was talking about. So use that as kind of your line in the sand on a closing basis. So intraday, it can doodle around and go below it, but you don't want it to close there.
Yes. Key details there. All right. So in closing, Webby, what should the game plan for the week ahead be? We've got more key earnings reports coming up. We've got Fed news around the corner. So there's still a lot of hurdles, both on a technical perspective and just a lot of the cross currents out there to navigate.
Yeah, we're knee deep in the earnings cycle. So yes, that was great that we gapped up today on earnings. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we could gap down just as bad as we gapped up on earnings. So you want to be flexible during this time frame. There's a very volatile time. Plus, we have all, like you said, all the Fed stuff. But I think the market is, they've got to realize, in my opinion, Powell is not going to do anything this year. That's just my opinion. It's worthless. Everyone's opinion is worthless. What he ends up doing is really what's meaningful. But he's been telling us that in the market, the CME Fed Fund Futures, if I could say that, really isn't matching what he is saying. So I think he'll continue to come out and have his other people at the Fed have that same message that, hey, you know what? We're really not going to be doing anything. And whenever they talk, the algos, the text reading algos go in there and they sell off. And then you just want to see, do the real buyers come in there and lift up the market, or do they continue selling? Because that will give you a lot of information. So what do you do? That's really the question. So what I would do this weekend, I'll probably share on my feed some different screens to run, but you can just start with the Growth 250. There are 45 screens or so that I built that are behind the Growth 250, and it pretty much gets everything. I like to look at more stuff just because I like overkill, but if you just look through that, you could sort it by composite rating, you could sort it by market cap, you can remove the illiquid names if you don't like those, you know, just move it into a list, get rid of things that are too thin for you, that's fine. And that's where you're going to get your ideas. We have some buckets in there. If you go over into the Growth 250 over on the side, we've got some that relate to pattern rec that are helpful. So play around with the Growth 250. That's the easiest way. And if you want a little bit more work, I'll share some screens out there. But look, build your watch list, build stocks, ready list is what I like to call it, of stocks that are ready to break out. If you picture in your mind a big bar up on Monday, would you want to buy it? Is it in position? And if so, mark that down, email to yourself your plan. And if you do that every day, you email yourself, okay, if this happens, I'm going to do this. In the heat of the battle, when the bullets are flying, you can just say, you know what? What did I think over the weekend? What did I think last night when my head was clear and I didn't have my account way up or way down? Right. And just always email yourself a game plan. Use the Growth 250. That's why I built it, to help save you time.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Webby. We'll be ready for anything come next week. Ready for battle.
Come Monday.
What?
Come Monday.
Yeah. Did I? What did I?
Come, you know, it's a Jimmy Buffett
thing. Another song reference.
Rest in peace, brother.
So, yeah. So many of those go over my head. But thank you so much, Webby. Always incredibly insightful. We really appreciate it. That is it from us for this week. You can follow Mike on X at mwebster1971, where he will be posting that weekend homework. And the team will see you starting Monday morning on IEBD Live. But of course, we've got continuing coverage over the weekend from Ed Carson and others on our site. So check that out as well. And we'll see you on IEBD Live in the morning on Monday, investors.com/IEBD Live for all the details on that. We'll see you there. And then we'll also see you after the close Monday as well. And for our... It's okay. Are we back? This show is for informational and educational purposes only, and nothing should be construed as a recommendation to buy, hold, or sell any securities. Any securities and investment strategies discussed may not be suitable for all investors. Make sure to consider consulting with your financial advisor before making investment decisions.